helping to build the career you deserve. This is Career Opportunities for August 9th, 2006. A member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. Today's podcast is a recording of our monthly Skypecast. You can find out more about Skypecast at skypecasts.skype.com. That's skype.com. Please note, due to the Skypecast technology, the recording quality is slightly less than our usual podcast. You can find links to some of the columns mentioned or referenced in the Skypecast by visiting the website, welchwrite.com/career, welchwrite.com/career. And now, on to the Skypecast.
And I just had someone come into the office who's a basically a help desk person who installs stuff in and fixes up PCs, and he has a negative view of all users, basically. I didn't realize how bad it could be, just complaining about users.
Oh, it can get really bad. I mean, depending on the person. And,
well, I thought it was bad when I was just doing tech support on the phone, but thing was, everyone was doing it there. I didn't notice it, but at my current job, most people are happy with it. And then you have the one person who's disgruntled, I guess, and you can really notice a difference. I didn't realize the contrast before.
Yeah, I mean, everything, that's, you know, it's funny you say that, because everything is, oh, hello. Welcome to the Career Opportunities Skypecast. Anyway, so as you were saying, yes, it is, if you get in a bad environment, you can really, you can get inured to it, because you're surrounded by it every day, and that's why one of those articles I wrote was about, you know, you can't do that. You have to take the initiative. And, of course, that's the part about all careers, is you have to take the initiative to do something. And in that case, you have to take the initiative to not think that way and to separate yourself from the people who are the worst offenders of that. Because otherwise, you can just get sucked into it so easily.
Which, in my case, requires quitting the entire company.
And that's, it's a sad state of affairs, but it is not uncommon. I am in no way a booster of people who jump from job to job, because I think, in another column, I wrote about the fact that if you go from job to job, if you find yourself jumping from job to job, you need to stop looking at the companies you're working for the problems, and you need to start looking at yourself. Because often what it means is you have some issue or some thinking that you haven't done. That is causing you to bang up against the companies you're working for. And it's not always the case, but you need to look at yourself, too, as well as the company you're working for.
Yeah. Well, in my case, it was more going towards more of a high-tech career, which is, I had to keep getting jobs going up towards that. That's what I was doing.
So if you're consciously building it, that's good, because, you know, the whole point is being conscious about the act. So many people, and I've said this before, so many people just get pushed from job to job to the point where they really aren't thinking about where they want to go. They're just taking the next job that appears.
Oh, okay. Hoping that they get a promotion, whether or not they really ask for it, or
right. And it's
hoping something gets handed to them, too.
Yeah, it's very much a laissez-faire attitude. It's whatever happens, happens. Where to have a really successful career, you know you're having a really successful career when you're looking at lots of different job possibilities and you're actually consciously turning some of them down. If you can look at a job and go, okay, yes, this has some advantages, but that's not where I want to go, it shows you're at least thinking about it. You're at least thinking about where you want to go in your career.
We have a new person.
I see. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Career Opportunities Skypecast for the Career Opportunities Podcast. I'm Douglas Welch. Hello, hello.
Hello.
You're getting a little bit of background noise from your microphone. If you can perhaps turn down just a little bit, if you can do that.
Okay, sorry.
No problem.
Let me see. How is it now?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. It's nice. I can still hear you, but the background noise is reduced a little bit. So, welcome.
Okay,
I'm Douglas E. Welch. I'm your host tonight, and I'm also the host of Career Opportunities, the podcast. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Rodrigo. I'm from Brazil. and I'm just checking out. I like to be listening around for a while, if I can.
Sure. Thank you very much for joining us. It's always great to have people from all over the world. That's one of the things I like about podcasting is it is a global reach, and thank goodness you speak very good English. I do not speak any Portuguese. It's one of the few languages I know. Absolutely none.
I'm trying to improve now.
It sounds very good. Do you have a particular question about careers this evening?
About careers?
Yeah, we're talking about basically career planning. My column tends to focus, and my podcast focuses on high-tech careers usually, but also offers up a lot of just general career advice. I was just talking when you came in. I was just talking to one of my regular listeners, Ben, and we were talking about some issues of job hopping and other things.
Yeah, that was I was thinking of about changing jobs. How can I do that? I know because I work as a web developer. It's been like 6 years now, and sometimes I want to start doing another thing, but I feel like sometimes it's scary to go back to zero and have to start all over again. Is there any easy way to do that?
Oh, I wish there was an easy way. I won't say there's anything easy about a career, but there are ways of making it a little bit easier for you. First and foremost is you yourself need to have an idea of where you want to go. And so what are you thinking of you'd like to move into instead of the web development?
Music, perhaps.
Music's great. I'm an amateur musician myself, and I have friends who are musicians who also do other work full-time. My good friend David actually works at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He's a navigation specialist who I always jokingly say to him that he's air traffic control over Mars. He controls all the on the team that controls all the probes up there. But he does music as a sideline, and that is probably where you have to start. Is you continue doing the web development to bring in the money, but you
music as a parallel thing.
Yes, exactly. You keep the web development as a possibility for bringing in the cash, and then you slowly over time start to transition. You start to get a few evening gigs, a few weekend gigs, or perhaps if you're a studio musician, you can play in the studio. And the goal here is to eventually, I'm trying to think of a good description, it's almost like turning a dial. You're going to be turning the dial from the web development concept and work, then slowly, slowly, slowly turning it more towards the music side as much as you can.
It has to be a gradual move.
I think, personally, yes. I think it has to be a gradual move. It has to be something you do over time, because I think to tell anyone that you've got to go bang, quit your job, have no cash incoming, living off your savings to do this whole thing, I actually think that is much more stressful to the person, because you all of a sudden you lose all your support structure. You don't have anyone to, you don't have any means of support. And I think for myself, and there are people who would disagree, but I think for myself, I would always recommend the slow dialing over, because I think it's planned. You have time to think about what you're doing instead of being forced in a very stressful situation to make big decisions that maybe you're not in the best mind frame to make.
Yeah. You know, I did it once. I quit my last job, and I was like, now I'm going to dive into music. But that wasn't happen. That's not happened. And now I'm freelancing, and I have to web develop again to make some money out of it, because music, it was too, I have so much to do in my musical background before I can start making cash out of it.
People don't often realize how long it takes to develop a creative career. I know a little bit about this because my wife is a television writer, and when she first moved from being a teacher to being a television writer, one of the people she worked for at the time. She started off as a writer's assistant. She was a person typing up scripts and doing all sorts of stuff like that. Someone told her, it's going to take you 10 years before you really get to your quote-unquote career as a television writer. And the... Well, and what I was going to finish up is basically that's exactly what happened. It was almost 10 years to the day when she got her first staff position working on a show full time. She had written scripts before, but it was 10 years before she finally kind of got hit the stride in her career. And I'm finding that that time frame is probably very similar for many creative careers, like music, dance, anything like that, writing. There is a time frame that you just have to work through. It's like you have to meet enough people, gain enough experience, and, you know, perfect your craft to the point where finally it's like, okay, oh, now I'm an overnight success. You know, after 10 years of hard work, I'm an overnight success.
We don't always want to wait for things to happen. And that's a problem.
It is, and what I counter that with a little bit is you will find that even though you're not really waiting, you have time to put in. You have to put in your time and your work on your craft. But because you've now started to focus on what you want, you have that goal out there. For me, it seems that it's much less disheartening, if you will, because you have a goal. You see a point out there that you're headed towards, and you're working towards that goal every day, hopefully, if you can, if your other work isn't burdening you too much. And I think, for me at least, action always supersedes everything. If I can be actively trying to do something, actively working towards something, I feel much better than I'm just sitting there waiting for something to happen to me.
Yeah.
That's sort of what...
game.
Exactly. And that's sort of what Ben and I were talking about earlier was you need to have a goal, or many goals, in fact, out there, because those are the things that pull us along and keep us from just sitting at our desk day after day doing the same thing we've done every day. It's very easy to fall into that, and I think everyone falls into it from day to day. And your goal, and every person's goal individually, is to break out of that kind of static place and have something that you can reach out for and you know, be reaching out for, because that's where you get the development in your career. Whether you're just trying to become a better web developer or if you're trying to establish a new career, it's that constant striving that's going to make you feel better, and it's going to get you to your goal eventually.
I'll try to make a goal and try to walk parallel to my pleasure and my work.
I think both of them are so important. I think I run into too many people who only have work as their foremost focus of their lives. And unfortunately, that can leave you in a really bad position if you end up in a situation where you're going to be laid off or you're going to be fired. If your self-worth is all tied up in that one job, it can really be quite a crash if something happens to that job, whether it's your fault or not. Being laid off, for example, because the company is not doing well, what do? You've tied up all your self-worth in that one job, and all of a sudden it disappears. So I'm a firm believer that everyone should have a variety of interests and a variety of possibilities out there, so that they don't ever feel that if one thing slows down or happens to go away, their whole life hasn't collapsed around them.
Okay.
So, as a web developer, I have some questions for you now, because there's some things that other people might want to know about what you do, especially since you don't work in the U.S. and it's a different viewpoint. Do you do web development mainly in Brazil, or do you do web development in other countries as well?
No, only here in Brazil.
And are you developing mainly for big companies, or small companies, or individuals, or...
I used to work for a virtual store, and it is a big company here, but then things wasn't going good, you know, for me.
Mm-hmm.
not because of the company. The company was good, but I wasn't happy there. And then I quit, and now I'm freelancing for 2 years, but haven't hired much clients yet.
Yeah.
But I'm working on it.
Well, and that's one thing you can gain as a freelancer, too, is you can you have the ability as a freelancer, one, to branch out and have as many different clients as possible, so you're not fully dependent on any one.
Yeah.
And the other thing you can do as a freelancer is look for work, look for web development work that deals with music companies.
Oh, I haven't thought about that.
It's something I usually recommend if people are trying to find a different career, is take a skill that you have and apply that skill at a company that does what you eventually want to do. So, for example, if you could find a record label that needs web development, that would be a good place to look. An artist, a musician, or a band that needs web development, what you might be able to do is combine your interests. I call these hybrid jobs, where you're still doing the work you were doing, but you're doing it in an environment that is much more appealing to you.
Oh, that sounds good.
I think too many people work in businesses that they have absolutely no interest in, and I think that's one reason that people get dissatisfied with their jobs and are maybe looking for a new job. And I know this from personal experience. One of my first, well, the second job I had here in Los Angeles 20 years ago when I moved from my home state of Ohio, I started working for a mutual fund company, an investment company. Well, frankly, I knew nothing about investments, and I really had no interest in investing in that area of business. All I was there to do was to keep the computers running. And what I found is after a while, that just wasn't enough. I wasn't interested in the business as a whole, and so therefore, I'll even say as much as I wasn't perhaps the right choice for the computer person because I didn't understand all the needs of an investment company, you know, the specialized needs that they might have had.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can possibly find a way to do that, I think you might find a path there if you can, especially doing web development, which everybody needs nowadays. You know, every company, every small business person needs a website of some sort. If you could find clients that are creativity or music industry based, that might be a great thing for you.
Yeah, it will. I think it will if I try.
You know, all we can do is try. As I said before, it's in the trying, it's in the striving that we actually can make ourselves feel better. Because when we take action, we always feel better. At least that's my belief.
Well, that sounds pretty good for me.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us. Have you ever listened to the Career Opportunities podcast?
Well, but where do you... Sorry, I missed
a
word.
No problem. Which website is it on? You can locate the podcast at...
Yes, what website would be the podcast?
Right.
I can hear it later.
Sure. It's welchwright.com, and I'll spell it out. It's welchwrite.com/career.
/career.
Yep.
When will it be available?
I release two shows a week. Basically, Career Opportunity started 10 years ago as a weekly print column in a magazine here in San Diego, California. And then when podcasting came up, I started doing podcast of it. So I release two shows, one on Wednesday and one on Friday. And in fact, I just released a show earlier this afternoon. So the latest show is up there. They're about 5 to 6 minutes long. And you can get them, if you have the Apple iTunes software, you can actually subscribe to the show so you'll get each new episode, or you can listen directly from the website. You'll find a listen link and a little play button right on the website, and you can just listen to it right there.
Oh, I'll try to find through iTunes.
Yes, I am in iTunes. If you search on Career Opportunities and Douglas Welch, you'll see my name as the artist, W-E-L-C-H.
Okay, that's good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's
fun. Much fun for me.
These Skype casts have become very, very fun for me. I really enjoy speaking, especially because I can speak to people all over the world. So it's very enlightening, and it gives me more to write about in my upcoming column. So thanks again.
Okay, thank you.
Let me ask, are there any other questions out there?
I have one.
Yes, Ben, go ahead.
Okay, when you are working with stuff, so much web development, I'm kind of curious about where you think job descriptions should be divided. Basically, I saw an interesting article. I can't remember where it was, but it was basically saying that web developers should learn to write, not just leave all the content up to everyone else, but actually think about what's best for the business and extend beyond what you normally think of your job title. And stretch out into other parts of related fields to make your clients even more pleased.
I think there's something useful in knowing a little bit about every job that surrounds the work you do. So if you're a web developer, it's good to know something about graphics design. It's good to know something about writing. It's good to know something about the back-end technical side. Now, that said, I don't necessarily think everyone has to be an expert in all the aspects. And, in fact, I find it pretty difficult to find a person who is good at, for example, both coding web pages, doing the graphic design, and writing the content. I think if you find that person, let me know.
Not him.
I have recently done myself some copywriting for a friend's website. And he's extremely good technically. He has a great web developer, but he asked me to come in and to write some content for the website to help him, you know, qualify what he does for his clients and stuff like that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you need to find the best person for the job, even if that's, you know, three different people. So, Ben, what are you doing these days? Are you in technical support? I actually don't remember.
I was in technical support. I got out of that. What I'm currently doing is, I don't even know what you'd call my job. Well, technically I'm an intern, but I'm doing a lot of support, not exactly an admin, but I'm supporting backup, user administration, a bunch of projects at a large insurance company, especially related to backups, indexing, searching of images of all the contracts.
Oh, wow.
So we have, I don't know, 100 million images of contracts, and I work with making sure that everyone can index them and search them and that they're always backed up and that kind of stuff.
Great. Now, I know you were asking your company and kind of trying to find an answer to whether you might be brought on full-time at the company. What sort of title would you move into from being an intern? What would be, you know, an entry-level title at this company you'd be moving into?
Systems analyst.
I must say...
It's a vague term.
Yeah, over the years, I've always disliked that term.
They don't have the best term. They're systems analyst, senior systems analyst, and actually the higher position is called consultant, which confused me since I'm technically in a consultant as far as legal is concerned.
Oh, wow. That's now, do people like that, do they consult with outside clients? Is that what they're called, a consultant? Or?
No, consultants are basically, if you had tiers of technical people, they'd be the most technical.
Yeah, okay. I've talked about a concept like that before, that once you promote technical people, you want to avoid promoting them out of their technical work into management, and that's probably a way of accommodating that. I've often said that then they should become consultants to everyone else on the staff, so they're basically the gurus you go to when you've reached the end of your experience, your knowledge.
Basically, it means you get paid the most and you work 80-hour a week.
No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be working on those special projects that are neat and interesting and can really use your skills.
Well, they're a bit understaffed. That's why I'm trying to get on. They need me, too.
I think you'll find that the case in every company. I don't think I've ever worked at a company that had near, even close to a valid level of staffing compared to the number of computers and number of people they had using those computers.
That's a valid point.
Yeah. I mean, I when I worked at Walt Disney Imagineering, now this is back in the, you know, beginning of the 90s, we were staffing up for Euro Disneyland. That's why I got hired, in fact. But we had two support people for, you know, as far as microcomputer and PC support, two people for 1,500 employees.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, I spent my day running from desk to desk. There was no other way around it. There was just, my joke was I worked for every person in the company because at one time or another, everyone from the president on down saw me, you know, to do something on their computer.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Now, that's an extreme example, but I've been in other companies where it hasn't been much better. One of my other jobs, I was, you know, one person to 150, which I consider...
The whole career is living by crisis, huh?
Oh, boy, yeah. There's a whole column there I've written, too.
I read that or listened to it. I don't remember which. Yeah.
Crises computing. And the whole trying to get away from that... constant crisis. Because what it means is there's several reasons why it occurs. One is understaffing. Two is undercapitalization of the computer infrastructure. Three is, and this is the hardest one to face, is a cultural issue in the company, where in some companies that it's internalized. Crisis is internalized. Everyone thrives, they think, on crises.
Oh, okay. So they keep piling stuff on so they can't handle it.
Yeah, they kind of if they don't have a crisis to face, they're bored. Because that's the way they it's almost like being an adrenaline junkie. You know, you need that hit, you need that crisis to really spur you to action. And what that means is lots of little stuff gets done and these fires get put out. But as far as infrastructure development and developing ways to solve the crises, never get accomplished.
Okay.
It's a really tough world to live in, and I've lived in it, luckily, for only short periods of time. But, boy, it chews you up and spits you out, basically.
Well, that's why tech support's similar to that, and that's what I went through. And those positions usually didn't last more than a month on average.
Yeah, I mean, there is a reason they have such high turnover. And that's just, you know, just one of many. Understaffing be another. I mean, that's why I left the job previous to my Imagineering job. It's basically, I was burnout. I think it's the only time in my life where I have truly been, quote-unquote, clinically burnt out. And actually, when I went to Disney at the time, when I was interviewing for that job, I said, you know what? Barring emergencies, I come in at 8, and I leave at 5. And, again, barring emergencies, I'm there for, you know, extraordinary events, but if everything in life becomes an emergency, you actually, that's a really clear red flag that there's something wrong with the job.
Ah.
If I was interviewing for a job, and that's what I started hearing from people, that everything's an emergency, and you have to be on call 24 hours a day, and that for you should throw up a red flag and say, okay, there are serious fundamental flaws in the operation of the company. At least, again, that's the way I think. But to me, that is a really big red flag when you're interviewing for a job.
Since you are doing consulting-type work, do you think that you're more often there as almost a fix-it guy? When someone has a bunch of trouble, they call you and need your help, or are you someone who helps design and plan and such?
Oh, yeah, there's days when I'm computer janitor. That's me. I come in with the electronic broom and the mop, and I clean up the... Yeah, I clean up the guts of the computer that is spilled on the floor. That's definitely part of it. And what's interesting is that that is often the way you cement a really good relationship with a client, is you basically come in that first time, and you maybe even are following someone who has messed something up previously, but you go in, you've solved the problem, you clean up the mess on the floor, and you know what? It actually cements that relationship. And you end up going on then after that, usually, moving more into a more consulting role. Personally, I like training as well. If I'm showing someone how to do something neat with their computer, or I'm consulting with them on how to improve their computer or their experience or their network, whatever, that's my favorite role. But there is that computer janitor part of the role that has to be played and is often one of the most... engaging parts of the relationship, at least early on.
That does remind me of something I did once. Someone asked me to come by to fix their computer, which wasn't turning on at all.
Uh-oh.
And what is easy. Basically, it turned from just replacing the power cable to noticing how they were backing up their data and helping them create a backup solution.
Exactly.
It just went from just a small crisis, which was like a $5 power cable, to a... planning out something that could have cost the company a ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, you should always take, whether you're working in a corporation or whether you're working in, as a private consultant, you should always take that opportunity to, everyone's got their buzzword bingo cards out, right? You need to put a value add in there. But basically, yes, you notice something. You notice that their Windows updates aren't done. You notice that their antivirus is expired. You notice that the printer is starting to fall apart. You notice that whatever, and that's the value add above and beyond. You offer these value adds, even if you're there to clean something up. And again, it builds a relationship. It shows the client that you're thinking about them and thinking about how to make their life and their computer life better. And it really helps to build that relationship.
I could definitely see that.
Let me do a little break here. We're about a little over a half hour in here to our Skype cast today. This is the Career Opportunities Podcast Skypecast. If you're interested in listening to the Career Opportunities Podcast, you can try it out at welchwrite.com. That's welchwrite.com/career. And you can listen to the twice weekly podcast from the website, or you can subscribe using Apple's iTunes or other podcatching client. I have to remember that I'm kind of doing talk radio here, and I got to give a little station ID there every so often. I discovered early on that I did not want to be a programmer, and I know enough to be dangerous. Oh, you really do want to be a programmer?
Well, yeah, basically.
Are you looking into more...
Oh, I hate that language.
Oh, God. Application development or more web-based development? Or
web-based, preferably.
I mean, personally, I'm seeing that that's where the energy is. That's where the market is for jobs is in, you know, web development type of related projects rather than shrink-wrapped applications.
I have one website client that I've had for about a year now, and they just always have me do maintenance on their site. But that's about all I have right now.
Yeah. Well, again,
web development.
It's like I was saying to Rodrigo, is you pick, you know, a direction you want to head in. And, you know, at least you have something to aim towards. So when someone comes to you and says, well, we got this job over here doing this, you can look at it critically and say, that's either going in the same direction, going a little bit to the right or left, or going entirely in the opposite direction. And your goal is to not go in the opposite direction, you know. Your goal is, I wrote a column once, I called it Career Compass. There you can do a search on the website and find that column. And I use the compass as a metaphor if you want to be headed north. But so many people I see will oftentimes be headed due south from where they profess, at least, where they want to go. And can yield all sorts of problems because they're saying one thing and they're doing another, and it will never come to a happy end, that's for sure.
kind of like me splitting off from programming and going into more an admin role. Oh, well.
Well, you know, if that's what you want to... As long as you're thinking about it, that's the important part. And, you know, you have to make expedient decisions for your current state in your life, too. Now, I will say, you're young. Try everything, honestly. That's always my advice. We had a friend who had visited Hawaii for five times in 1 year, and just every time she came back, she just raved about it. And I finally said to her, "Well, your company," and she actually works for sometimes it's a state department, sometimes it's a private nonprofit, depending on the state. But they have offices there. Why don't you just stick your nose in the office the next time you're out there and see if they got a job? And sure enough, she did that, and boom, yeah, they had a job. You know, 6 months later, she's living in Hawaii. She's been there for 2 years now. So you can only really do that stuff when you're younger, when you are relatively unburdened with relationships and children and other and houses and other things that, you know, tend to make you more circumspect about what you do. And so I always tell people, go try it out. If it doesn't work out, you move back. Big deal.
Less encumbered with social constraints. I like it.
There are some people who would say youth is wasted on the young. And so I like to make sure that the youth is out there doing what some of us older folks wish we would have done in the past. I mean, I've been pretty lucky with what I've done, and it's all worked out pretty well for me. You know, I don't have a whole lot of regrets that I didn't do this, that, or the other. But I still have things I strive towards that perhaps I'll maybe start doing as a career, you know, in another 10 years, you know, my fourth career or whatever you want to call it. But part of the reason for that is even when I was younger, and I was married very young, I was married at 22. So even then, I mean, my wife and I picked up the day after we got married and moved to California. The joke being there, if we didn't kill each other on the 7-day drive out here, the marriage would last. And as of June, it's been 20 years, so I guess there's something to be said about that.
Yes, she's very understanding.
Thank you. Wow, it's been an interesting ride. We've had a really good time.
Okay, that was mean. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, I laughed. Oh, she'd probably say the same thing, though, so it's okay. But that's the type of thing. You know, I never would have believed growing up that I would have ever just picked up everything and moved to California. But circumstances, she wanted to be a television writer, and so, well, that's where you come to be a television writer. So it did impress upon me at an early age of, you know what, you just got to do things sometimes. We knew we could always move back. We could always go back. Our families were still there. You know, there we could have done anything there. But we also knew that if we settled, if we put too many roots down where we grew up, that we would probably never leave. And so there was talk of us buying her grandparents' house and doing this and the other. And we both looked at each other several times and said, you know, we do that, we'll never do anything else. We'll just stay here the rest of our lives. And in a lot of cases, that's fine. If you make the conscious decision to do that, I think too many people don't think about that choice. They just do it, and then they wake up 20 years later and go, oh, geez, we never did X. And
that's almost like me. And one of my uncles offered to, basically a rent to own for a house. Said, you're living around this area. You can rent to own this house, and you can have a nice house pretty young, and basically it'll be like a rent charges for you.
Right.
And boy, that's putting down roots, and that was before I even graduated.
I would say, you know, coming out of college, you need to stay fairly unencumbered if you can. And again, everyone's different too. So, you know, I offer this advice as kind of generic advice, but everyone has to apply it in their own lives. But I would say you need to stay a little bit unencumbered so you have the opportunity to kind of take advantage of these opportunities that suddenly present themselves. You know, had we had a house and everything in California and then, I mean, in Ohio, and then we said, okay, someone offered us a job in California, it would have been almost impossible for us to have taken that opportunity. It just, there would have been too much psychic inertia, you know, holding us there. Well, I tell you what, Ben and Rodrigo, it's coming up on our hour here, and I'm going to keep it to an hour this week. But tell your friends, tell your enemies about career opportunities and the podcast, as well as these Skype casts, which I plan on holding once a month. Probably the, I think, what is it, the first Friday of the month, every month. And you'll see the next one listed in the Skype cast directory, and you'll also see it on the website. For those of you who might be listening to this podcast after the Skype cast, you can find out more about the Career Opportunities Podcast at welchwrite.com, that's welchwrite.com/career. I'm Douglas E. Welch, and have a great day.
This has been Career Opportunities with Douglas E. Welch, welchwrite.com/career, welchwrite.com/career. A member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. I'd love to hear what's happening in your career. Send questions and comments to career@welchwrite.com or post them as comments on the website. If you enjoy Career Opportunities, please consider a vote on Podcast Alley at podcastalley.com, a review in the iTunes podcast directory, or a tip in our online tip jar. You'll find links for all of these on the website.